The images in the following program are highly sensitive and may be as disturbing to viewers as they were to us. However, we have to show the truth about animal cruelty.
Compassionate viewers, welcome to Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants on Supreme Master Television and the Stop Animal Cruelty series. Today, we'll hear from Jacqueline Dalziel, spokesperson for the non-profit group Animal Liberation of Sydney, Australia. Animal Liberation believes that all animals have a right to live how they would normally choose without other species' intervention, and works to expose the cruel treatment of animals on factory farms and in other businesses. Currently, among other campaigns, Ms. Dalziel and her group are calling for an end to sheep mulesing, kangaroo killing, exporting animals to the Middle East for slaughter and vivisection. It is important to note that the savage treatment of animals that the group seeks to end occurs not only in Australia, but around the globe. Ms. Dalziel begins by explaining mulesing and why it is done.
Mulesing began in around the 1930s, and the basic premise behind it is the fact that we are breeding in Australia merino sheep, which are sheep who have multiple folds in their skin and in their wool, and this is obviously a breed of sheep that is bred for its wool. And however, in Australia, with the climate that we have during summer, during hot temperatures, the folds in between the wool on the sheep get really damp and get sweaty, and that provides a perfect atmosphere for fly strike. And what fly strike is when blowflies lay their eggs in the folds of the sheep's skin, and then it hatches into larvae, and then the larvae eat the skin of the sheep, which is of course very unpleasant for the sheep. However, the farmer's decision of how to deal with this has been to use sheep shearers, which are huge kind of metal scissors, and to cut about the size of a dinner plate flesh and skin and often tail as well off the sheep, and this is all done without anesthetic.
How can individuals help to bring a halt to the barbarous practice of mulesing?
Definitely never ever buy any wool products. Don't buy any sheep products at all, because whether you're buying wool or sheep meat or sheep product, you're supporting this practice, unfortunately. So don't buy any sheep products, and convince all your friends to do so as well.
We'll now learn about the state of Australia's kangaroos. The following is an excerpt from a documentary produced by Animal Liberation about our agile friends.
Kangaroos are herbivores that enjoy a rich family life. Female kangaroos usually have two dependent joeys, one at foot and one in the pouch. Kangaroos are unique to Australia and are Australia's national symbol. A symbol that is now the largest slaughter of any wildlife species in the world, only surpassed by the decimation of the American bison in the last century. Australia is undergoing the worst drought in its history, but the Australian government has sanctioned a harvest for 2007 of more than 3.5 million kangaroos. This is a remote area of western New South Wales, the Red Country. Tourists would expect to see large mobs of red kangaroos bounding across the countryside. Unfortunately, the kangaroos have gone, shot out, and starved out. Kangaroos are killed in remote areas from dusk throughout the night, and no one is monitoring this butchery.
Australia's kangaroo industry callously kills these beautiful animals for their meat and hides. Ms. Dalziel corrects one of the mistruths spread by the industry to justify the murder of these innocent beings.
Kangaroos are an integral part of Australia's delicate ecosystem, and their numbers increase and decrease depending on season. If there is a drought, they're obviously going to die. If there is a lot of forage and greenery, they're going to increase in numbers. However, this myth, and it is a myth, of kangaroos existing in plague proportions is generally propagated by people who will profit off killing kangaroos, and so we cull them in large numbers despite the fact that their numbers are decreasing very rapidly, and despite the fact that Animal Liberation has found doing research that the majority of kangaroos being killed by shooters are female kangaroos, which means that we're depleting the species very quickly.
Kangaroo meat, like all other meat, is filled with potentially deadly bacteria and is thus harmful to consume.
The majority of the meat that we export overseas, we export to Russia, and recently Russia sent out two scientists to determine whether the meat was of Russian standards of hygiene, and they determined that it wasn't. And so they have halted exports. We've found generally that there is a lot of E. coli poisoning and a lot of salmonella poisoning, amongst other things. Also, the general process is that a kangaroo shooter will shoot kangaroos, put them on the back of his truck, and drive to a refrigerated box where he leaves them. They can stay there for up to a week. Then they are trucked to the slaughterhouse. They can stay there for up to a few days, and then they're dressed and taken to the supermarket where they can sit on the shelf for a week. By the time you've got kangaroo meat in your fridge, it's almost a month old. This is not hygienic in any way. This is extremely unhealthy.
After these messages, we'll examine the appalling practices of vivisection and exporting animals for slaughter, as well as Animal Liberation's efforts to stop these activities. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television.
The images in the following program are highly sensitive and may be as disturbing to viewers as they were to us. However, we have to show the truth about animal cruelty.
This is the Stop Animal Cruelty series on Supreme Master Television. We are interviewing Ms. Jacqueline Dalziel, spokesperson for Australia's non-profit animal advocacy group, Animal Liberation, about its activities. Ms. Dalziel next informs us about the heartless treatment of animals exported from Australia for slaughter.
The majority of the animals that we ship are cattle and sheep. However, we do also ship small amounts of deer and camels and horses. The countries that take most of these animals are countries like Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Egypt. Animal Liberation has deemed these ships death ships because that's truly what they are. They are disease-ridden. These animals are cramped. They're overcrowded. It would be the equivalent of a battery cage, but for thousands of animals, and this is not a couple of days. This is, you know, voyages that can take up to 4 weeks. They are dehydrated, they're often not fed properly, animals can often die and get trampled in their own feces, they can get suffocated by other animals. Sometimes if an animal is injured and is found by someone on the ship, it is either thrown off the ship to be eaten by sharks or to drown while conscious, or thrown down a metal chute in the ship while conscious, which has a mincer at the end. This is the reality for these animals.
Is there anything being done to stop this?
Animal Liberation and various animal rights organizations around the world who are starting to pick up about how horrific this is have been doing investigations. We've had people meeting our ships on the other side. We've been getting footage from around the world to prove that these animals are suffering horrendously in these conditions, and we are promoting the notion that this just needs to stop straight away.
Have there been any positive things happening?
In 2006, Egypt banned live export from Australia precisely because of these reasons, but that was only for a year. We need countries all around the world to ban this completely.
The term vivisection is derived from the Latin words vivus, meaning alive, and sectio, meaning cutting. Animals are subjected to this unbelievably brutal practice in the name of so-called science. Jacqueline Dalziol explains why vivisection still occurs.
Vivisection has become a kind of umbrella term for animal testing, animal research, and animal experimentation. What drives this industry is profit. Vivisection exists because it makes a lot of money. The Australian pharmaceutical industry makes over $2 billion every single year. If you look at research institutions, to hospitals, to universities, to caging companies, to breeding facilities, this exists despite its scientific fallaciousness because there is profit to be made, and those who promote vivisection are usually those who have vested financial interests in it.
Now, how are these animals kept?
Inside laboratories, regardless of whether it's for animal testing or scientific research or medical research, animal liberation and animal rights activists in the past have found animals in extremely cramped conditions, animals who have not been given any veterinary care when they've needed it, animals living in squalor, in their own feces, in their own vomit. There are contraptions that enable experimenters to experiment on a mother and a baby in the same cage. It's completely horrific.
How else do the animals suffer?
What happens to animals in laboratories, if it were to happen to a dog or a cat outside of these closed doors, would elicit the most serious animal cruelty offence charges. Animals can be gassed, electrocuted, burned, irradiated. They can be deliberately infected with disease, paralysed, brain damaged. They can be deprived of food and water, and this is all legal.
I've read that many pharmaceutical drugs have been tested on animals and are later shown to be detrimental to humans. This shows that animal testing isn't an accurate method. Do you agree with this?
Yep, definitely. As I was saying earlier, humans and animals have very basic, fundamental, physical and anatomical genetic differences, which mean that if something passes an animal test, it is not necessarily safe for humans. Vioxx, for example, was withdrawn from the market in 2004. It was an arthritis painkiller. It caused 7,000 deaths and almost 30,000 heart attacks because it had passed animal tests and was then put into the hands of the consumer. This kind of stuff happens all the time.
To stop the continual, unconscionable abuse of animals, please never buy animal-tested or derived products and adopt the caring, organic, vegan diet. If the entire world changes in this loving way, our animal friends will be able to live in peace and tranquility as God intended. We roundly applaud the work of Jacqueline Dalziol and the other members of Animal Liberation for informing the public about the vicious, inhumane abuse and killing of our animal friends. May Animal Liberation's message of compassion and peaceful coexistence with animals move the hearts of everyone. For more about animal liberation, please visit www.animal-lib.org.au. Thank you for your company today on Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants. Coming up next is enlightening entertainment after noteworthy news. May all beings on the planet thrive in harmony and love.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/stop-animal-cruelty.